New heading, apologizing. To learn to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Or I was on an ego trip, I overreacted, I ignored you, and I temporarily put loyalty above integrity. And then to live accordingly is one of the most powerful forms of apology you can make. I have literally seen relationships that have been broken for years redeemed in a relatively short period of time with the depth and sincerity of such an apology. If you said something under the heat of the moment but did not really mean it, when you apologize, explained how you were driven by your pride and what you really meant. If you said it in the heat of the moment and did mean it, then the nature of the apology will require you to actually change your heart, to privately repent until you can sincerely say, I'm sorry. I was wrong in word and deed, and I'm working to correct both. I remember once having an unpleasant confrontation with an individual on a very jugular issue. The feelings affected the genuineness of our communication from then on, even though on the surface it seemed polite and pleasant. Then one day he came to me and said he felt sad about the strain in our relationship and wanted to restore it to its former unity and harmony. He said it was one of the most difficult things for him to do, to look into his own heart and see where he had gone wrong. He really wanted to apologize. His apology was so humble and sincere, without any form of self-justification, that it caused me to look into my own heart and to take responsibility for my part. We were knitted together again. A former colleague told me once of an experience she had working with a high-level executive team at a week-long retreat. The president began one morning by encouraging the group to really seek to listen, to understand others in their discussion before making their own points. Before moving on in the meeting, he shared a powerful personal experience illustrating his point. What follows is her brief account. The names have been changed, as they have been in many of the stories included in this book, of what happened later that afternoon. These are her words. In the middle of our discussions, a rather obnoxious executive started to say something about a business approach he was struggling with. The group verbally pounced on him. To be honest, I would have liked to pounce on him myself, but knew it wasn't my place. Then I heard Jack, the president, laughing out loud, right in this guy's face. He was actually making fun of him in front of the whole group. Of course, the group jumped on the bandwagon. I was stunned. Only a few hours before, the president had shared this moving experience about the value of waiting your turn, trying to understand a person's actions. Now he was doing the very opposite. I couldn't very well reprimand him in front of the whole group, so I just glared at him. He read me loud and clear. That was ugly. If you don't do something to rectify this right now, I'll walk out. Really, I was so angry I was ready to walk out on the whole group. They had just reverted to their old combative behavior and poisonous group dynamics. He stared back at me. I pulled myself up taller in my seat and glared. Back at you, pal. He shrunk back in his seat. I kept on looking right at him. This went on for about 5 minutes, during which his team members were still crucifying the poor guy. Then all of a sudden the president stopped the meeting, and he said, "Stop. I did something wrong. David, I want to ask your forgiveness." "For what?" David was a bit baffled. Things were normal as far as he knew. "That was inappropriate of me. I shouldn't have laughed. We didn't listen to you at all. We just jumped on you. Will you forgive me?" I thought that David, the senior vice president, would say something like, "No problem, don't worry about it." But his response was amazing. "Jack, I forgive you. Thank you." Do you realize how much more courage it takes to actively forgive rather than trying to forget something happened? I sat there. I was overwhelmed with emotion by Jack's behavior. He didn't have to apologize. He didn't have to seek forgiveness in front of the whole group. He's the head of an 80,000-person division. He doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to. After the meeting, I went up to him with emotion still in my voice and said, "Thank you for doing that." He replied, "It was the right thing to do. Thank you for glaring at me." We didn't speak about that incident again, but we both knew we had risen to our best that day.